Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap, welcome to Fightful. It is May 20th, 2024. We are heading into an enormous week for WWE, for AEW. It's King and Queen of the Ring. It's Double or Nothing. We've got Denise Salcedo here. Denise, how are you?
I feel like someone needs to press the reset button on me. You know, like those days where you just feel like you feel all out of sorts, but then like the second someone resets you and you come back on, you're like, oh, it's me again.
I don't have a mute button or a reset button, but I do have a mute button.
Wait, am I muted? Or did you, Sean, you muted yourself?
Yeah, I muted myself.
I was like, wait a minute, this is having the reverse effect.
Reverse effect of what?
Of mute.
Muted. Anyway, leave a thumbs up. I'm a little out of sorts still, guys. I'm back full time starting Wednesday. So I'll be on the AEW post show. I'll be on the hump. I'll be on this Saturday's post show for King and Queen of the Ring. Denise will also be doing one on her channel, but I'll be live after AEW Double or Nothing as well. Don't know. I won't be here Friday, actually. I'm throwing out the first pitch at the Lexington Legends game here at
Ballpark.
Yeah, I am.
That's pretty cool, actually. Yeah. Is that your first time ever throwing out a first pitch for anything?
It will be.
Are you nervous?
A little bit. I played a little baseball back in my day, but
you should practice beforehand, Sean, because who was it? 50 Cent? Was it 50 Cent, the one when he threw the ball and it went like nowhere and that was so embarrassing?
I've seen so many. The mayor of Cincinnati had a really bad one as well.
You don't want to be that guy.
Shout out to Kate for helping make that a reality. But leave a thumbs up. Tap that bell for notifications. We're also going to be giving you guys Bet Online AG odds for King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring. So check that out. And also FightfulSelect.com. We had news on Mark Henry's contract being up soon. We've got news. We got the Raw plans. We got Raw producers. A bunch of exclusive news over at Fightful Select. But Denise, WWE Raw. I got to say, I have talked so much about how when WWE does something like King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring, they need to show us how important it is. I feel like over the last month, they have shown us how important it is, from having people like Randy Orton involved to having people like Braun Breaker seething at the fact that he's not involved to having these matches main event the shows. I feel like they, and not only that, expanding the field to 16 again, like it used to be. I really like it. Like I have really enjoyed this presentation and I'm all on board with Gunther. I want King Gunther at this point. We'll talk more about that later, but how have you felt about the presentation of this so far after, you know, last year we had heard they were bringing it back, but the world title tournament sort of took precedence.
I was not excited when they first said that it was coming back because I was like, oh, it's just going to be what it was last time. And I don't even remember how it was last time because it wasn't even good. And that was sort of my feelings heading into it. But the second that they named the pool of competitors that were going to be taking part in both the queen and the king, it made it more right away. I knew it. I'm like, okay, if you're putting these people in here, this is going to definitely be something that's a lot better, because even just like the first round matches that we got, all of them were really good matchups. Like, you were excited just by the names that were put out there. And so from going from that, I do think that the Queen of the Ring has been a little bit more unpredictable. I think from the very beginning, the King of the Ring has felt like, okay, this is definitely Gunther's to win. There was a tiny, tiny little seed of doubt going into it today in his match with Jey Uso, but I'm glad that everything is pretty much staying as is, because I think that the direction that they're headed in is the right direction to do with Gunther. As for the Queen of the Ring, that one's been like completely unpredictable. Of course, a lot of like the earlier matches, they went as predicted, but in terms of like what we're possibly going to be getting for the finals, which is either going to be Lyra and Nia or Lyra and Bianca, those were not either options that I had predicted at the start of this whole thing. So I do love that at least one of them has been unpredictable in a way that is cool, and one that has been predictable in a way that makes sense.
Guys, we're going to get into our review. Leave a super chat. Leave a humper chat if you want your question or statement read on the air. That's how we interact with you guys the most. But of course, if you're in the chat, just show us some love in general. Share the video. Leave us a thumbs up. You're going to see some good changes coming to Fightful YouTube. We're going to bring you guys some new content, some new looks. Gonna switch things up a little bit here. But I also want to encourage you guys, even if you can't support us financially, there are some other ways to do it. Like I said, just sharing the video, whether it be on Facebook where we're still trying to get a foothold, or Threads, or you can leave a nice review over on our audio platforms. I don't care what it is, whether it's Spotify, Amazon, Apple, whatever that may be. We are a video first platform. So anytime you leave those nice reviews, I cannot tell you how much that helps us, including for our sister YouTube page, Fightful Overbooked, that does some incredible stuff over there. They just interviewed Billy Corgan. We dropped like 3 interviews last weekend: Zaya Brookside, Myron Reed, and we were the first outlet to speak to the former Reggie Scripps. He's now going by Sydney Akeem. He talked about his whirlwind WWE career and now him, he's still under contract, but what he's going to be doing after this. But make sure you check out all the great content we got, guys. In addition, we're going to be doing some stuff in studio here as well, some special videos like that. So keep your eye peeled. And Fightful Select Tier 2 always gets those early, so I'll push that a little bit later. Andrew Cool says, would you two travel to Saudi for Mania in 2027 or 28?
No. I can answer that right away. Sean, I don't know about you, but my gender is not appreciated over there. And I don't ever want to be in a situation where I would be scared to death of my life. So given just the fact that it's way too dangerous for women over there, there's no way in hell that I would be able to go.
Yeah, can't imagine that I would be going over there either. WWE Raw started off with 35 minutes of the Zayn and Gable program. Zayn basically scolded Chad Gable for a good amount of time before Chad Gable came out. Sami Zayn said, well, you know what? We've already got our match tonight. You're dressed to compete. Let's do it. But Gable, you know, worked in berating his team, from Maxine, who should have been in Saudi Arabia for Queen of the Ring, to Tozawa, who did not soften up Bronson Reed whatsoever, to Otis, who is getting over big time because of this. We will wait and talk about that after this match. But Chad Gable getting in that heel work, there was an awful lot planted for this entire situation tonight, Denise. This felt like the Chad Gable show throughout the duration of this program, even though I don't know if I don't think he's going to end up winning the IC title. Maybe he will. But this was a Chad Gable led WWE Raw tonight.
There was a lot of different segments. How many did they have? Like three or four that they had throughout the entire show. But I loved it because I thought that they pasted out very nicely to all of a sudden, if you were to say, hey, Denise, what was one of the biggest things on the show besides the King and the Queen of the Ring tournament? I'd be like, okay, well, everything that's going on with the Alpha Academy and Chad Gable, all of that stuff has been it's been funny, and it's also been sort of grabbing you in an emotional way, right? Because you're fans of Otis, you hate seeing this like rift between Chad Gable and Otis and the way that's all going down. But to get into the actual matchup portion of it all, I loved everything that they did here from the very beginning with Sami Zayn opening up the show to Chad Gable coming out and basically saying that he's not manipulative, that he's actually too nice. I thought this is exactly what a person who's too manipulative would say. And so Chad Gable was hitting all of those check boxes there. And so then afterwards, with all of the Alpha Academy not wanting to cheat, not wanting to hurt Sami Zayn throughout this match, and Chad Gable getting super fed up with all of that, I loved that that played into the rest of the match. But the best part, I thought, was definitely the ending with Otis basically getting slapped again. How many times can you get slapped in the face until you eventually fight back? And so I'm thinking, oh, he's finally going to fight back, right? Otis is going to do something. But instead, they actually took me by surprise in the sense that Otis gave in to Chad Gable's demands. He bought right into it. And so instead, he sort of created this monster by, well, you know, for like a split second, because it didn't really last too long. But for this moment, he created this monster by going in and attacking Sami Zayn and costing him the match heading into the pay-per-view. So I loved the match portion of it all. And I loved that afterwards, we still got Otis trying to basically talk to Sami Zayn and figure all that stuff out, because that's the thing. Like, this isn't just like, oh, Otis is a bad guy or Otis is a good guy. Otis is a good guy who did a bad thing, and he did it because for whatever reasons, he wants to keep his friendship with Chad Gable. He was brainwashed. Whatever the argument is, I thought that the story that we're seeing right now unfold for Otis is great. And it's the other thing that I was thinking about was, Otis got one of the best reactions tonight, especially in this program with all of these guys. I even thought he got louder cheers than Sami Zayn, which is kind of crazy to say because Sami Zayn is one of the most popular faces on the show. But Otis, man, Otis was getting lots of love tonight.
So another great part of this segment was Gable starting to get the angle, you suck chance.
Yes, yes.
Mr. Showtime brings that up. Will Chisholm says he loved it. Mr. Showtime said it was awesome, and Mr. Acosta brings it up as well. This is getting so many people over. Like, Tozawa is going to be Tozawa. I don't think he's going to be the big beneficiary here. Maxine isn't probably going to be the big beneficiary here because of the in-ring limitations. Otis is getting over big because then he went and he apologized, and you and I have interacted with him on a personal level. Like, he is very much like the on-screen character that we see. Like, he is very funny. He's got a great sense of humor. But when you see him being this sincere, and even Sami was like, yeah, I can't be mad at you, I know you're a good guy, this added a lot of gravity to an active champion losing a non-title match, which I usually don't like. But with this, it got a bunch of people over. It got Gable over more. It got Sami over more because he's a forgiving, good dude. Otis going and apologizing. But ooh, what we saw afterwards was the Creeds, who have desperately been in need of direction, Denise, backstage giggling with Chad Gable. And Chad Gable saying, remember what I said, or think about what I said. Otis seeming like he's going to stand up for Gable. However, Gable's like, no, I got your flight to Saudi Arabia. You're good to go. There's an awful lot to this. This storyline right now involves Maxine Dupri, Akira Tozawa, Sami Zayn, Otis, Gable, the Creeds, and also by proxy, Ivy Nile, who is with the Creeds, but also teaming with Maxine. This has got like eight pieces moving together. And I feel like all of them are getting over more as a result of it, Denise.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people have been wanting to see, first of all, I'm so glad. I'm so happy that he got the You Suck chance, because obviously everyone has made the similarities between Chad Gable and Kurt Angle. And the You Suck chant is, you know, it's Kurt Angle's thing, right? Like that's his thing. So the second you heard the fans chanting that for Chad Gable, it was this very cool moment. But the other thing that people want to see is an interaction, or him working with, or whatever you want to call it, him with the Creed brothers, because the Creed brothers came in to the main roster with a lot of hype, and their best match was the one that they had with DIY. That was the best match that they've had. But on top of that, they still have had really good matches on the show. But Creed brothers still don't really have any character on the show. They're still not. And like, if you tell me, okay, what's going on with the Creed brothers? I'm gonna be like, well, they're the Creed brothers and they have matches here and there. That's kind of been just about it. So I think that Chad Gable bringing all the personality that he brings with the Creed brothers, and us starting to see a different side of the Creed brothers, especially if we were to see heel Creed brothers alongside Chad Gable, that would be different. Or who knows, whatever it is that they decide to do, that's something that I'm interested in, because I want to see more of that personality come out from the Creed brothers. Because you mentioned that we have talked a lot to Otis. You got a chance to talk with the Creed brothers, right?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I've talked to them, even outside of media, quite a few times, Julius at least, and like they both got big personalities as
exactly. Exactly. That's what I was thinking about right now, was how big their personalities are. And I don't think that people have necessarily seen that yet, because on NXT, they more so got over again because of the pro wrestling. They haven't seen their personalities just yet. Like even when I did my interview with Brutus and Julius, and I ended up doing them separately, so I got both sides of who they are without the other person, I was stunned. I'm like, damn, I didn't really know this is what you guys were like. Julius is very, very like professional and proper. And then you have Brutus, who's like this goofball, but they both blend each other so well that they balance things out like between their personalities. And so I just don't think we've seen enough of that. Not even a glimpse of that on the main roster just yet.
Otis is going to be over big time. And listen, I don't know if there was a wrestler that got hurt more by the pandemic in WWE than Otis, because it brought a screeching halt to all of his crowd momentum. He got his moment with Mandy. He got Money in the Bank, but man, it wasn't the same without the crowd. And that's very, very unfortunate. So now we're getting to see him get another shot.
Was he making out with Mandy when there was a crowd or no crowd? I'm trying to remember.
Well, I mean, they were starting to, because they did the Rumble spot, if you remember, where she landed on him. And then by the time Mania rolled around, they were supposed to have their big kiss and their big moment, and no crowds. So
he never got the kiss, did he?
No.
Like did he just get the peck? Was that all it was?
Maybe.
I'm trying to remember. I don't really remember that much. I remember the cool scene.
I would love to see Gable like bring her in for a cameo just to mess with him. I think that'd be fun.
I think that's the most painful part, not getting the big old kiss from Mandy.
Yeah. I mean, he got it eventually. They were
he did,
a couple.
Though, right?
Yeah.
Okay, they were that's what I was making sure. I'm like, I swear I remember them kissing.
You remember the pool scene where...
That's what I just said. Yeah, I remember the pool scene, but I couldn't remember if they kissed or not. They did, right?
They asked Zack Ryder or Matt Cardona if they could use his pool for that. And he was like, you fired me. No. Mr. Acosta says, we went from wanting Gable to saying F you. I mean, he plays that role so well. He's doing so good. So good.
He's been consistent. I mean, let's not forget the stuff that they were doing back, God, it feels like 50 years ago with RK-Bro. Remember that? They were doing that whole thing with Randy and Matt Riddle, and that was good stuff, too.
I'll tell you something that's consistent. Helix.
My friends, I am here to tell you about a partnership that helped change my life. HelixSleep.com/Fightful. A few years ago, pandemic, I needed to make a change. I needed to sleep better. I wasn't getting a good quality night's sleep, and I found Helix. I found Helix because I didn't want to go to a mattress store, roll around on a mattress that somebody else was. So I found Helix, and I found just thousands of five-star reviews online. And then I took their online quiz. I was matched up with the Dusk Lux model, and I've been sleeping good ever since. I've slept better and more quality nights since then than I did in probably the 10 years before. And they have a variety of mattresses that fit your needs. They've got great reviews, not just from people online, but Good Housekeeping, GQ, Wired, all that good stuff. It is comfort designed for everybody. If you need something that cools you down, if you're a plus size sleeper, if you need something that aligns your spine, HelixSleep.com/Fightful has you covered. There's always a great deal over at HelixSleep.com/Fightful, including the ability to get their free Dream Pillows with your order at HelixSleep.com/Fightful. Ship straight to your door for free. You can try it out 100 nights risk-free. And if for some reason you don't like it, they'll come and get it for you. You've got nothing to lose but a great night's sleep to gain. HelixSleep.com/Fightful.
I was telling Denise off the air, I replaced like a bunch of furniture in my house. The only thing I haven't really replaced lately is the Helix Sleep mattress. It's fantastic. They got a Memorial Day sale going on right now. 30% off all mattresses plus two free pillows. The Elite and Lux models will be 30% off plus the two free pillows. And then the Core models will be 25% off plus two free pillows as well. Check that out, guys. I know that sometimes you might be like, oh, you know, should I spend that on this? You spend a third of your life in your bed and you're there ideally every single night. So it's well worth it. Well worth it. Jay Hudson says, Sean and Denise between MJF and Roman Reigns, whose return will be the most awaited, but also bring the most views and most impact to social media.
Roman Reigns.
Well, I think that everybody kind of knows Roman Reigns is coming back. We just don't know when. I think MJF will come back soon, within the next month or so, I think. I don't care what anybody says. I know that guy. He's sneaky. He's very, very sneaky. That's my prediction. I mean, listen, the viewership in AEW has fallen off quite a bit of late, which, hey, you know what? So is WWE Raw's. They're just doing strong numbers in you know, live events and doing everything else. Right now, Raw is without Rhea Ripley, CM Punk, Seth Rollins, arguably their three biggest stars, and Drew McIntyre was barely on this show tonight. So, like, you're missing four of your big stars. I think they picked a really great time to do King of the Ring because Roman's gone, The Rock's gone. I think Roman's will naturally have more on social media because WWE's bigger by scale. I think that MJF's, I don't know what it'll do long-term for AEW's viewership, but if it has a significant boost, boy, that'll be pretty telling about his drawing power, and hopefully it does. I hope that both of them bring a pretty big boost there.
I do think that MJF, when he returns, I do think that it will be a big boost for AEW because a lot of people do miss him. Like, I say this all the time, but he feels like so much of the DNA of AEW is, you know, MJF is a big picture of that, and a big part of that, excuse me. And then when you think about Roman Reigns, for so long, we've only been seeing heel Roman Reigns. We haven't seen babyface Roman Reigns that is actually loved and wanted by the fans in such a very long time, if ever. And so the fact that that's incoming, I think that within itself lends to a lot of interest of like, okay, well, what's it going to be like? And what's going to happen when he comes back with the bloodline? And when are we going to get The Rock again? And so for that reason, I did go with Roman Reigns just overall. But that's not to say that when MJF comes back, it's not going to be big for AEW on their side of things.
Our good friend Terry Allen Jr., great to see you back in the chat, says during pay-per-views, they had wrestlers watching live while Kathy Kelly was hosting. Do you guys remember these and desire to see that again? I don't know, Denise, do you remember these?
Any a little bit.
Any particular notable instance where you might have been present for one of those?
Oh, God. Yeah, 2019 watch along. It was just, God, I don't even know what to say. Like, you got to understand, like, that was my first time ever going.
Let's add some context. Denise had just got hired by Fightful, and then she's there, you know, trying to make a good impression at WWE, some possible aspirations.
I was shy, too.
And what happens? The Fiend versus Seth Rollins, Hell in a Cell, where Denise has to sit there and be like, oh.
No. Sean.
You.
Sean, there's a picture and some people have sent it to me and I'll find it somewhere. It's all over the internet. There's a picture where I'm literally like, I have like a smile, but you can see that the like my smile is the regular smile, but my eyes are saying the truth. And I had this moment of like, oh my God, what the fuck is happening? And thankfully, I know some people don't realize that was me, by the way, especially because I look so little there. When the way that Sean Waltman responded, the way that he reacted, he went off, right? Yeah. And so like, all I could do was just sit there and smile. And I'm like, I'm not trying to, I'm not going to trash the product on their television. I don't have that ability to do that, especially though, like then that was like terrible. Right. That's not what I was there for. And so then Sean, you know, he has this epic reaction and you can watch that online too. And I'm just sitting there like, well, Sean brought me. So I'm obviously going to be respectful of his thoughts and his opinions. But it's like, it was just a whole thing. It was just a whole thing. I didn't know what to do.
My God. SAS says, with how heavily Ivar has been featured under Triple H, can you see the Viking Raiders getting a big push when they return? SAS, unfortunately, this is an if they return situation. Eric's injury is very, very serious. Ivar's injury is a TBD right now. And he and Edge, I think, might be the only two guys to come back from a double fusion. And he has treated every match like it's his last since then. I had a good conversation with him WrestleMania weekend, but he was very frank with me about how he's went. Cause he had said, me and Ricochet had our match on Raw. We treated it like it was our WrestleMania match. And I never know how many of those matches I have left. Also, Valhalla, Sarah Logan is pregnant again. So that, you know, that'll be at least a year likely that she's going to be off of TV with maternity leave. So there's a real chance that we might not see them again. I hope that we do, but you know, it's not a guarantee. Jonathan Corona says, when I ask you guys both your opinion, who is the best commentator? Could be WWE, AEW, or even TNA. I'll give you a few. My favorite play-by-play guy right now, Michael Cole probably is my favorite play-by-play guy because he's really getting to kill it. But Ian Riccoboni is a favorite. Matt Raywald, I think, in TNA is doing really well. And I really, really like Veda Scott's work as well on the indies.
I like Tom a whole lot. I think Tom Hannifin, I like what he brings to the table on TNA. I think he does really good too. I like Pat McAfee for the personality, and I think he's bringing the personality a whole lot. And then, of course, I really enjoy Excalibur as well. I do like his work. I like Taz, especially when he brings like the insight when it comes to explaining moves and what they do. I think he does really, really good at that. And then also somebody that I don't think has gotten enough someone who I think has gotten really so much better is Vic Joseph on NXT.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel bad because I don't think enough people talk about it, but I do think he's doing a great job over on NXT.
We get an interview with him coming pretty soon. A reminder, guys, if you want your questions or statements like those read on the air, answered on the air, donate a super chat here on youtube.com/Fightful. If you're watching on X or wherever the hell you're watching, humperchats.com. That's H-U-M-P-E-R chats.com. If that ain't enough for you, fightfulselect.com. Every week I do a Q&A. Corey Brennan has been doing some, our NXT insider. We've also got the Fightful Select Discord. If you're sick of Twitter, all that stuff, or even Facebook, man, it's horrible over there too. Go over to our Fightful Select Discord.
It's horrible everywhere, Sean. It's horrible everywhere. There's no beautiful place. You know, I get messages. Discord, you said.
Fightful Select Discord is unanimously wonderful.
But I'm old and don't know how to use Discord, okay? Like, I don't even know how that works. But, you know, TikTok sends me messages telling me to turn on my anti-bullying protection. And I'm like, it's on, bro. I already turned it on. But every single week, they send me another message, anti-bullying protection. Like, their own bullying protection does not work at all.
I could turn it on this show. We get the Neo Sky underwater video package. And then she has a slapper with Lyra Valkyria, who gets the endorsement from Becky Lynch continued. Punks are Punk says it was incredible. GFC. And Yana says, IWC says they want unpredictability and stars made, then cry. They were fine if Tiffany made it to the end, but not Lyra. I like both ladies. This tournament actually means something. Io really sold her reaction after the pin. Here's what I like, Denise, and it's something that I've needed in pro wrestling on Raw and SmackDown, and I want it on AEW. I don't want matches to be foregone conclusions all the time. Listen, Bron Breakker and Ken Dixon, whatever, Kale Dixon, fine. I don't have a problem with that. I didn't know who was going to win Lyra and Io. I didn't know who was going to win Sammy and Gable. I didn't know who was going to win Gunther and Jey Uso. I didn't know who was going to win the tag team contender match. I didn't even know who was going to win Awesome Truth and Judgment Day. Like, there was actual doubt here. And I watch all of AEW and really enjoy the match quality. I think a couple of them that I watched recently where the result was in doubt was, you know, Brian Keith and Boulder on Collision, and then maybe Trent and Orange Cassidy. And I feel like AEW should scale back the number of matches they have on pay-per-view. Like, maybe do 8, especially if you're doing 12 pay-per-views, and then put some of these big matches on Collision, on Dynamite, to make things a little bit more unpredictable. Because I think that the foregone conclusion aspect is something that might restrict them. Meanwhile, WWE over here, I was pretty sure it was going to be Lyra, but you can never be too sure. And they had a slapper of a match. They sold me a ticket several times, and I love Lyra winning. I'll get your thoughts and then tell you the one thing I didn't like.
So, oh boy, where do I begin with this one? I am, and everyone knows this, especially if you watch my NXT post shows, I am the biggest Lyra Valkyria fan. Like, I think she is the shit. I love her. Yeah. I think the only thing that they haven't gotten down yet is that connection with the crowd in terms of a character. Because you mentioned Tiffany Stratton, right? Yes. Tiffany Stratton, she's very easy. You get it. You get what she is. You get the character. You've seen it so many times in pop culture and different variations. You get what Tiffany Stratton is. Versus, I don't necessarily think we know exactly who Lyra Valkyria is, other than, okay, she's Irish, she's a great wrestler, and she has history with Becky Lynch. That's kind of about it. But who is Lyra Valkyria? And that was something that I think I had mentioned before on my NXT post show, where I feel like she impresses people in the ring, but and she even did good with a lot of her promos that she had on when she became NXT Women's Champion. She had a lot of strong babyface promos, but then it kind of faded and there really wasn't anything else. So I do think that we should see some tweaks from Lyra, but I think that just the fact that she goes out there and she wrestles the way she does and she hits the way she does, that alone is going to get people cheering for her and caring about her matches, because that's so important, because you've gotten now to the point that every week, especially I'm just talking right now for women's matches, you know who the fans are going to care about when they're wrestling and who they're not going to care about when they're wrestling, because we see it. We see it in the crowd reactions. We see it when they come out. And Lyra is a new person on the roster. What'd she say? 3 weeks now that she's been on the main roster, and she gets some pretty nice reactions. She doesn't get Tiffany Stratton or Jade Cargill reactions, but she gets some really nice reactions. People care. And
especially during the matches.
Right. And that's really important. So I'm very happy for her. And I think that she's already gotten, like, it's like baby steps, right? But she's gone through so many of those baby steps very, very fast. And so now that she is, this specific match with Io, oh my God, I freaking love this match. But here's the thing, even saying that I'm the biggest Lyra fan, I thought Io Sky was going to win this. I'm like, oh, they're going to throw her a bone and, you know, have her make it all the way to this match with who I'm predicting is going to be Nia Jax. And I'm like, okay, that's going to be really fun, because you're going to have Io Sky was like flying all over the place, and Nia Jax was this big, scary, bigger person, and they're going to have a fun dynamic. That's what I thought was going to happen. So when Lyra won, I was genuinely surprised that she won. But there was so much fun stuff in here. I mean, the crossbodies, the double kicks, the freaking pendulum swing. I mean, everything that they were doing was so good. This was one of my favorite things that we saw on today's show.
She got a good reaction for the submission attempts too, and Io going into the crossface. The match was phenomenal. I'm great with Lyra winning. Here's the one thing I didn't like: that promo afterwards. And it ain't her fault. She didn't write the promo.
Which one? Was it the one where she was being interviewed? Or the one backstage? The one
where you got a new, young, unbelievably good wrestler, and they go, I know it's hard. I know it's a lot. But all you got to do is believe. They used to have Ricochet come out and say that shit. Ricochet, who can do 630s and all these flips, and also one of the pound-for-pound strongest dudes. It's like, I don't know. Superheroes are real, but if you believe, I'm like, what are you talking? These are incredible athletes. Lyra Valkyrie is an unbelievable athlete. We see how good she is. You can't pull that. You gotta believe shit on us. She's just real good. That's it. Like, and I understand, like, sometimes you're gonna have underdogs that I don't think you'd do the, you gotta believe. It's just, holy shit, I did win this match against a person who was world champion last month. But also, she should be confident in herself. She should be able to, and she was, because, and that's what she said. But I hope they don't just continue down that road, because I feel like the crowd might end up revolting against her when you've got Becky Lynch, the world champion, being like, yeah, here she is, pointing at her every time.
Vibes, yeah.
Yes. Like, I fear that they might do her more harm than good with that. And right now it is abundantly clear that she belongs near the top of the card and will for a very, very long time. Now, sometimes that can work out because you can get a little bit more edge, but I think she's killing it right now. And hopefully they don't do her more harm than good. Vin says, agree. The audience doesn't connect to her. I noticed it in NXT as well. There's something with the accent and the enunciation of the words that perhaps disconnects her from the fans. Happy birthday, Hollywood.
Thank you. I don't think it's that. I think it's the lack of character, because here's the thing. We almost get two different Lyras. All right. So we've seen so I'm talking NXT right now because that's where I'm more familiar. Obviously, we've only gotten just a brief look at her on the main roster, but on NXT, when she's in her gear, you know, she comes out in the ponytail, she comes out with the big feathers, and that's like the look that she has, right? But when she does promos and other things, and when she's in her regular clothes, she comes across a lot different. She comes across as like more classy, more glam. And so that tells me that her in-ring gear and how she appears in ring is not really who she is, based off of what I've seen her, the way that I've seen her dress and the way that I've seen her style and her fashion sense when she is in regular clothes. Because you can tell, like, everyone has a certain unique style. And so you can tell when it's somebody's, it's hard to explain. I really love fashion. I really love clothes. Yeah. So that's how I was able to tell, hey, this isn't really fitting who she is. And I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't think it's accent or enunciation. I think that's fine. I think that she is starting to connect, or she does connect with the audience. It just, there's that little something. The same thing I thought about Swerve when he started off in NXT. There's that little something, and she's going to find it. I know she's going to find it.
It comes with presence. It comes with its presence. It's the way you dress. Sure. It's what you stand for. And I think that's what we don't know just yet about Lyra.
I wanted to address this because of the AEW thing. Somebody said, or A-Shock says, at this point, should AEW listen to people about the optics? Listen, they are doing something. You know what? I'll break it tomorrow at noon on FightfulSelect.com on the free tier. They're doing something after specifically listening to fans. Noon Eastern, FightfulSelect.com, the free tier. So even if you don't want to plop $5 down, you can get it right there. Kim says, do you think Mark Henry will come back to WWE? So Fightful Select reported today that his deal is expected to expire. I would love to see WWE do the type of thing that like WWE or the AEW did with Sting, where they make a big deal out of somebody's last match type of thing. Mark Henry does not need like a 20-minute match, but he never got his last match. And I feel like they could orchestrate something to where he gets. And with that, he's got to have his theme song, all that stuff. And maybe he hits the world's strongest slam on somebody, ends up putting him over. I would love to see one more out of Mark Henry. I think he goes back. Denise, you've interacted with him a few times. What do you think? Give us a scoop.
My weekly Saturday co-host. Yeah. So I don't know what the plan is or anything. Don't know. No idea.
All I'm asking you is to fish information out of your co-hosts on other platforms.
But I will say this. I think that Mark has a really great eye for scouting and finding talent and finding stars. And on top of that, finding what it is that people need to change, tweak, alter, whatever, so that they can reach new levels. And that's one of the biggest things that I've noticed and that I've learned since I started doing the show with Mark, is that he's really good at that. And obviously, you know, his track record, it kind of shows, you know, Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair, it definitely shows the track record is there.
I Make Beat says, P.S. Happy belated birthday, Denise. Hi, Sean. Love you guys and all the work you do. Many thanks. Looking forward to both shows this weekend. Also, Kylie became a YouTube member. Thank you, Kylie. Indeed, happy belated birthday to Denise.
Gracias.
Jason says, love the EO Lyra match. Also, the EO promo before it. Hope to see more of it. Yeah, it felt really cool. I mean, I felt like this throughout the show numerous times a day, and I tweeted about it. I shouldn't be amazed by the production at this point, but I still am because of how bad it was for so long. We got told about how revolutionary and important Kevin Dunn was for so long. And as it turns out, no, he actually sucked for a very long time. So there you go.
It was just all we knew. You know, that was the only thing we knew. We're dumb. We didn't know any better.
We didn't know what we didn't know. Yeah. Braun Breaker defeated Kale Dixon. I love that they brought up that Dixon works on NXT Level Up. Braun Breaker was very specifically mad he wasn't in King of the Ring. And he speared Kale Dixon. Then he ran around the ring and speared Kale Dixon. And then the referee stopped the match. Then the referee helps up Kale Dixon. And he eats another spear. Later on, Pierce confronts Breaker. Before we get to the backstage stuff, ooh, I liked this. I don't need to see him against jobbers every week. Let's put him up against like Tazawa or somebody like that next week, at least. Somebody on the roster, but yeah, this is going to work. He fits every bit on the main roster.
So one of the things that I always talk about in regards to squash matches is I hate a boring squash match. Like, to me, a squash match should be high intensity, impactful. The person who's doing the squashing literally stomps the other person like a bug, right? Like, that's the kind of vibe that I like in a squash match. And there are times when you don't always get that. Now, speaking specifically for Bron Breakker, for the ones that we saw on SmackDown, they had been good. But after a while, they're pretty much the same thing, right? However, this one here today went above and beyond because, like, yeah, you mentioned, the three spears and then him hitting him with the chair on the steel steps, all of that. And what I loved most, the best part about all of these spears was they weren't all just like in the ring. Like you mentioned, they were all in different areas and done in different ways. Yeah. And when he did the third one and they did the bird's eye view camera, it looked like a video game. It looked like you were playing video games and maneuvering Bron Breakker to freaking hit the spear. And so I thought that was freaking kick-ass, man. I feel bad. Well, actually, no, not. I don't feel bad for Kale Dixon. You want to know why? I care more about Kale Dixon than I ever did, but today was also the first day I heard of him. I didn't watch Level Up, so I don't know. But Kale Dixon, man, when he comes back, he's going to get a pop out of me. I'm going to be like, bro, you survived all of that? I'm so happy for you.
Yeah, I hope they use that on Level Up or whatever, and that they can reference that. Absolutely. Abdicola says, Braun might have had the greatest squash match I've ever seen. I also think that anyone named Bron, not named Bron Breakker, should stop doing spears. Well, I like it because it builds to an eventual Roman Reigns match down the line. That's what I want. Spear versus spear. I'll tell you one of my favorite squash matches. It is Coco Beware as Stagger Lee against the Patriot. Not that Patriot, not the one in WWF. He beat the brakes off of that boy. Just whipped his ass so bad. I Make Beat says, do you think Braun will spear Adam Pearce? He looked even more deadly tonight when he ran the ropes. My internet connection couldn't keep up. so let's kind of get into that. Elia is backstage talking about Gunther, and then Ricochet interrupts him. So what I like here is that they're like, well, Elia has been in a main event, but he's worried about Gunther, but Ricochet's after him. And oh, here comes Bron Breakker spearing Ricochet. Now, in my opinion, Bron Breakker did not give a damn which of those two men he hit, as long as he hit one of them, because both of those men were in the King of the Ring and he felt like he should have been. Elia was reacting to it. Ricochet was selling the hell out of it. And now what you've got are potential matches with Elia and Gunther, Elia and Ricochet, Elia and Bron, Ricochet and Elia, Ricochet and Braun, or a triple threat with all damn three of those fellas. I thought that was masterful how that was set up. And it isn't just like, oh, well, this guy's segment and match is over, so he's gone from the venue and we don't see him again. I'm so glad those days are over. I thought this was great.
Yeah, so him spearing Ricochet, I wasn't expecting that. And I was like, damn, poor Ricochet, what'd he do? So that was kind of funny. But the moment with him and Adam Pearce and him telling him, like, you didn't draft me or what was it? No, it wasn't the drafting. It was the not putting him in the King of the Ring thing. That's what he was mad about. Yeah. And so when he said that, I was like, good, he should be pissed, because I really hated Adam Pearce's reasoning last week when he said he didn't want to just throw him in. And I'm like, bro, come on. That was such a dumb excuse. I hated that. So yeah, Bron Breakker should be pissed.
Like, why is Lyra in it? Like, why are all these other people that just got drafted in it? Talking about a former NXT champion. It was a stupid reason.
It was really bad. I'm like, you guys could have came up with something. I just forgot something else, which would have been bad too. But damn, at least that would have felt a little bit more honest. Like, damn, bro, sorry, I just forgot. Sorry, bro. But no, it was really, really bad reasoning. But either way, I'm liking the way that this is paying off. I like Bron Breakker being freaking pissed and angry. And I like this. I'm excited.
R-Truth spoke with New Catch Republic backstage. Miz stopped him. Damian Priest is meeting with Balor, JD, and Carlito. I loved this backstage thing with Damian Priest and Carlito. Carlito is now the most interesting he's been since he's been back, in my opinion. Carlito had attacked Cruz del Toro, and Priest is like, you know they're not going to stop coming for you, right? You're not going to bring heat on us as a result of that. I've dealt with these guys before. They're not going to stop. And Carlito is like, yeah. But I helped you out last week. And he goes, yeah. So this week, you're good here. Next week, you're not. You got to earn your way hanging out with us. And then you got Balor, who's like, you know what, man? I wish it was us tonight, but you're the champ. And I've been there, so I get it. I thought that this Judgment Day segment, by the way, Damian Priest exudes champion right now. He carries such a different confidence with him now that I really enjoy. And also Jonathan Corona saying, damn, even Carlito talking about the Knicks losing on TV. I like this. I thought that this also achieved a lot of different things on the program, Denise.
Damn. Oh, I have to be a heel now. Great.
You can disagree with me without being a heel.
Well, I know I'm not saying I'm gonna be a heel with you.
I'm not gonna call you an idiot
because you
don't agree with me. Like,
no, I'm not saying I agree or disagree. I wish I had an opinion about this because instead, in the Judgment Day storyline, since Rhea Ripley has been gone and this whole stuff with Carlito, I don't want to say has go away heat for me. It just has this is the part of the show that I don't care about portion. And I feel bad saying that, but I just don't think this is interesting. I haven't gotten interested in this at all. And I don't even have, maybe it's because I wasn't a fan of what Carlito has been doing since he returned. And now it's been incorporated into the Judgment Day, where the Judgment Day already was walking a fine wire for me in terms of interest. Like, I had already been feeling like the Judgment Day is long overdue for a breakup at this point, and I may be in the minority for that, but I just don't think they're doing anything intriguing right now. And so for that reason, this is the part of the show where I'm like, ah, it's the Judgment Day, whatever. And that I know I feel like a heel.
I can feel it,
but I'm just not a fan.
I hadn't been interested in Carlito since he'd been back until these. And then I was like, okay.
But like, okay, like, I just don't feel like we're going to get really anything out of it. To me, the most interesting thing about right now, the Judgment Day, is still Dominic Mysterio getting booed.
There's also the Liv and Lyra backstage interaction where Liv ended up throwing a punch. Mr. Acosta says, Liv and Finn came out of the same car, by the way. Same car, different shots in the intro. Interesting. Awesome Truth defeated Finn and JD McDonagh, thanks to Braun Strowman coming out. I like that it set, I love R-Truth using the Attitude Adjustment as a finish. I like that. I don't need to see this title reign continue that much longer. I saw it. I would have been happy if it lasted a week, honestly, but I think the bloom is off the rose there, and I'm ready to see them move on.
The bloom is off the rose.
Yeah.
I'm going to steal that one. You know which saying of yours I stole, by the way?
What?
It's been like 2 years. Oh, that one too. But 2 years ago, I forgot what we were talking about, but you were like, I'm happy as pigs and shit. And so now that's my new saying. Yeah. I love that saying. I'm happy as pigs and shit. So I say it all the time now.
As nervous as a cat shitting razor blades is another one.
Yeah. I've heard you say that one, but it's too long that I forget it.
It ain't that long.
Wait, say it again.
As nervous as a cat shitting razor blades.
As nervous as a cat shitting razor blades.
Yeah.
See, it's just too long.
Damian Priest scolded Judgment Day and Carlito. JD's got to face Braun next week. I like how JD tried to like play a poker face there. N. Simmons says, I think Ricochet loses to Braun Breaker. Then Elia beats Braun, or almost does, until Ricochet costs him the match because of his obsession with Elia. Also put the Good Brothers with Finn on an eventual turn on Damian. Yeah, there's an awful lot of like realignment that can happen. Finn Balor can get in with the OC and they can reunite that. Dominic can, you know, do his own thing, for hang out with Carlito for a while. I think that would be kind of cool. Then Rhea comes back and is like, what the hell's going on? Like, where is everybody? Like, what happened?
She's not going to know a table to sit at anymore.
Exactly. I think there's some interesting things going on there. SAS says, in both of your opinion, which promo video is better? Mania 26, Taker versus HBK, or Mania 17, Rock Stone Cold? Ooh, I got to say Taker HBK, but I love the My Way promo as well.
Oh, fudge. That is really hard. I'm going to have to go with the My Way one, because even though I love the Taker HBK one, and that's my favorite WrestleMania match ever, I just remember feeling like, oh God, Rock and Austin, like what a big freaking deal. And like my uncle, he had the big poster. So I just have a lot of memories of that, even though it was such a long time ago.
I've got the poster right in here.
Yeah, the Houston We Have a Problem one.
Yeah.
I love that poster. I haven't seen it in decades. Like I haven't seen it in such a long time, but I still remember it. And so the memories are still there. Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah.
That is a,
I love that.
But I mean, the Taker HBK one, like when the Kate Bush Running Up That Hill song became popular again because of Stranger Things, I knew it because of the Placebo version from that promo. Becky Lynch cuts a promo. KE775 says, do you guys think that Becky's last or second last to Raw, saying she wanted to leave this place better than she found it, made me sit up? And then Eddie says, any word on Becky's contract? 1 week left. Jonathan Corona says, let's say Becky wins. Do you think she'll re-sign with WWE if she wins on Saturday? In your guys' opinion, how do you debut the Wyatt 6 this Saturday against Cody or Logan attacking-wise? I wouldn't have them in the top program immediately. I would probably have them involved with somebody they have history with, maybe Braun or somebody like that. As far as all the Becky stuff, the last I had heard, she had not signed. And the last I heard was last weekend.
And when's her contract up again?
2 weeks. And she's got a world title match against Liv. I had a bunch of people saying, oh, of course she signed or else they wouldn't. And then Becky went to Sami Zayn's comedy show and confirmed our reporting. FightfulSelect.com. Please subscribe. I think that Becky at this point is just, you know, going to find either the right deal or make important life decisions. I don't know her priorities and what it is she wants to do or accomplish. You could look at it a lot of ways. She could become the highest paid woman in wrestling history. Maybe she wants to work Wembley. Maybe she wants to break a title reigns record in WWE. Maybe there are things that she hasn't done there. Maybe she wants to spend more time with Seth Rollins. Maybe she wants to spend more time with her kid. We don't know her priorities. Don't know them. I think that it will come down to the wire. I mean, it's already down to the wire. The Liv promo was pretty basic. I'm going to beat you. You're going to beat me. Yada, yada. Don't got to do much more with these two heading into that. But I think Liv's walking out champion on Saturday, Denise.
I'm torn, Sean. I don't know. So before this promo, I was thinking, oh, it's definitely going to be Becky Lynch. But after this promo, I got to tell you, I loved what they did here tonight, both Becky and Liv. I think Liv has had, I mean, I feel like I say this all the time, but
she
God.
She was her tonight. She was
yes. Her. Yes, she was confidence. Like even her little laugh that she did and the way she was like, you're stupid. All of that was really good stuff, man. But I thought that it was fast. Like at no point did this promo between them get tedious. It was very quick. I'm embarrassed for you that you think all of these great stuff about yourself and I don't agree with it. I'm gonna beat you. And then Becky Lynch basically, God, she had like this new like growl in her voice that with the way that she was talking today was something that stood out to me. She just sounded very, very passionate about what she was saying. And so they both fed off of each other's energy very, very well. And then Liv Morgan, once again, taunting her and pretending like she was going to get in the ring with her and then not getting in the ring with her. I thought everything that she did, she just looks like she just has more confidence. And like you said, her a lot more. And so I like this version of Liv that we're seeing, but yet that's the thing though. Like all the versions of Liv that we've seen, I've never disliked. I've always liked the versions of Liv. It's just the, what happens when she wins the title part that gets a little bit, you know, the waters get a little rough there. And so I don't know how I feel in terms of whether or not Liv is winning, but coming off of today's promo, I started to lean more towards Liv is winning versus before tonight, I was leaning towards Becky Lynch.
We got Xavier Woods back, and then Karrion Kross shows up. I like what Karrion Kross is doing. I've always loved the idea of a shit stirrer gimmick. Just like somebody who's just backstage kicking up shit. Sean O'Hare kind of did it, and they gave up on it, and it was very good. A guy named Just Joe did it for a while. Corey Graves did it for a little bit. But I think Karrion Kross is really, really good for it. I'm enjoying what they're doing. And also, dude looks great if you've seen his stuff on social media. Dude is in the best shape he's been in. But I'm digging this. We also saw Kaiser interview followed by a Drew promo. So we got a few people on the show in a very short period of time. Any of these stick out or do anything for you, Denise?
I still need a lot more with the Karrion Kross stuff. I'm still not there yet. I still need, I just need it to be entertaining right now. And I think like I get what they're trying to do, but I just think maybe it's just so new that I'm still waiting for it to get good. So I'm in the waiting phase for it to get good.
Women's tag team contender match. Shayna and Zoe defeated Kayden and Carter, Kayden Carter and Katana. We got Maxine and Ivy and Kyrie and Dakota as well. Shayna and Zoe still at it. It feels like we've seen every combination of women's tag team title matches or women's tag team matches, but I'm glad that they don't just give up on these teams immediately. Like Shayna and Zoe do work well together. Anything about this one stand out to you? How are you feeling about this? It's not for this Sunday or this Saturday, by the way. It's for a future title match.
So really, do we want to get into the Sonya Deville stuff now, or are we waiting for that for later?
Yes, Sonya Deville made her return, showing up backstage, talking with Shayna and Zoe.
Well, that to me was the most interesting part in all of it, because I'm like, oh my God, Sonya Deville, like, God, it's been forever. And it was one of those things where, you know, all of the real life stuff that she went through with the break-in and the horrible stuff that she went through with that guy that tried to do awful things to her.
Of course.
She was gone for a very long time. I don't remember how long she was gone for, but she was gone for a long time following that. Then she came back. I don't know how long she was back for, but it didn't feel like too long. And then, unfortunately, she was gone again due to the injury of the ACL, and she's gone for 9 months. So for me, it feels like we've only had Sonya Deville in these small portions. At least that's how I remember it. And so to me, it feels like that time that she was gone plus this time that she was gone, it sort of just all added up together to the point where I'm like, wow, I feel like Sonya Deville's been gone forever. And so Sonya Deville coming back today and looking like she wants to start something up with Shayna Baszler and Zoe, I thought was intriguing, because both Shayna and Zoe have the same thing in common, where Shayna and Zoe are entertaining wrestlers. They get in there, they're very fun, they're good wrestlers, blah, blah, blah. But they don't really have that person. Neither one of them, to me, is the mouthpiece. And so if Sonya were to come in and fill in on that side of things for the mouthpiece portion for Shayna and Zoe, that could be something really cool. And so I'm intrigued in that being a possibility there. And then as for the match, it's the same thing all the time here. You know, we kind of saw the same thing from every team that we've seen before. So really nothing too different in regards to the Fatal 4-Way.
Since September of 2020, Sonya has only had 43 matches. And by the looks of it, the majority of them were during that period in which she finally came back as an in-ring wrestler. But, you know, she had the GM thing, as you mentioned, and had a lot of moments taken from her too. She was a champion, had it taken away from her. She was supposed to do a hair versus hair match, and it got taken from her. Like, there was a lot of stuff in the works for her.
Her and Chelsea were a lot of fun. I remember that. And then, God, I remember thinking the tag team titles were cursed. And, oh, my God, it's just been so much that's happened. So hopefully this is, like, the better run for her, or, like, the best version of it.
Dakota also got busted open during that match. This weekend, we got two pay-per-views. There's the PLE on Saturday. There's a pay-per-view on Sunday. Plus, you got Mike Tyson, Jake Paul, all kinds of stuff. You had a big boxing fight this past weekend. They just announced Anderson Silva and Chael Sonnen. If you're spending all this money on pay-per-views,
I got something to help. Buying pay-per-views on NordVPN.com/Fightful is going to enhance your pay-per-view buying process. Now, one subscription to NordVPN has so many different benefits, but if you're a big pay-per-view buyer like myself, UFC, boxing, pro wrestling, all that good stuff, any combination of the three, if they're doing a fight circus or something like that, this subscription will pay for itself after one or two pay-per-view buys. Change your virtual location, pay for it at the prices that other people are paying for it in the UK, in Australia, etc., etc. And you can get different interfaces. Maybe you don't like Peacock and you want to check out the WWE Network the way that it used to be, the way that it was designed to be, the easy navigation, so on and so forth. Maybe you want to watch AEW without commercials. Maybe there's some other overseas services that you can't subscribe to and you want access to them. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that with a great deal and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Even better, 24/7 tech support. So if you have trouble navigating any of it, they can help you out. Fastest VPN on the planet, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Years ago, I used another VPN and I did not like it. And I hit up one of my friends and they said, use Nord. I did. I loved it. And then I hit up Nord and I said, let's work together. Love those fellas. King of the Ring, Gunther defeated Jey Uso. Dick the Cock Johnson says, we have caught and compromised to a permanent end. Yeet man, Jey Uso. He's done, Denise. Gunther as king. The agenda is on. Marquise says, is his travel restriction up? Hell yeah, it is. Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. We're heading down the home stretch. There were a lot of people feigning anger over Jey Uso beating Elia last week, and I don't get it. Jey Uso right now is one of the top baby faces on this show that is in the ring right now. Seth ain't around. Punk ain't around. Becky might be about to leave. We don't even know. I don't have an issue with Jey Uso. He's a top guy. Part of the Bloodline purpose was to launch him as an upper mid card guy, and they've done that. And honestly, last week's result made this week even more interesting. I was like, oh my God, are they gonna have Jey Uso beat Gunther? Gunther ends up winning, choking him out, making him pass out so he didn't get pinned either. I was all for this. I'm all for Gunther in the main event or the King of the Ring. We'll discuss some theories momentarily, but how'd you feel about this one?
So like you, once Jey Uso defeated Ilya Dragunov, I was under the assumption of like, oh, maybe there is a chance that he might defeat Gunther. It's not what I wanted, but I did have a slight little hesitation in me in regards to my prediction of this being Gunther all the way, that I was, thinking, man, what if this doesn't happen? Especially because they set it up nicely where on the SmackDown side of things, you have Randy Orton and Tama Tonga, one of those two guys being in the finals. And so you're like, damn, this kind of played out very nicely where if Jey Uso wins, there was a lot of people that thought, okay, maybe he's going to go in there and face Tama Tonga. And then all of a sudden, what are you doing? You're reigniting the Bloodline storyline with Jey Uso once again infused in that. And so they really set it up to the point where you started to maybe just a little bit of you started to doubt whether or not Gunther was going to win. Of course, Gunther wins today. It was the right way to go. Very happy that he won that. And, the only thing I didn't like, I did not like the finish. And the only reason for that was it felt very rushed and sort of muted where there really weren't any sparks to it at all. Yeah. So that was the only thing I didn't love was the finish, but I did enjoy the match. I thought it was perfectly fine. I just didn't think that the finish had the fireworks that you normally get.
I wanted to shout out a Twitter account that came across my For You tab. Aaliyah's Killer said, random thought, Jey Uso has the perfect gimmick to rebrand Sweet Chin Music into his own thing. It can be the Yeet Chin Music, and then every time he stomps, the crowd chants Yeet.
That's great.
If I saw that, I would immediately be like, okay, that's it. And if I'm Jay, I'd be like, listen, I know I don't have that many other moves, but if I don't got to jump off the top rope all the damn time, hell yeah. What that kid posted, brilliant stuff. Somebody should have already thought of that in WWE. That is one of the better ideas I've seen. Really,
that's really, really good.
Shout out to them. N. Simmons says, I wanted to see Jay win just to see Alex Palowski's reaction. And Tamel says, I didn't get my King High Chief Yeet. If I don't get my glow-in-the-dark briefcase, I'm showing up at WWE headquarters. I don't think Naomi's going to win that. But iMakeBeat says, hey, in the UK here, couldn't sleep, so streamed Raw live. Now watching the post-show. Love Jay, but Gunther is my favorite WWE guy. So happy he won. Hope he faces Orton. Stoked for Logan Cody, not going to lie. Wanted Io to win Queen, but now my money is on Lyra. Peace. I'm so glad you're hanging out with us, regardless of where you are. And thank you for all the Humper chats that you sent. Thank you so much. So that's the interesting thing. It looks like common sense based on babyface heel. It might be Randy Orton versus Gunther. There is something uniquely interesting to me about Tama Tonga versus Gunther for a couple of reasons. One, the bloodline will cheat to help Tama Tonga. Gunther being pissed off at the bloodline is very interesting to me. Also, some people go, why would they do that with Tama Tonga? Well, his dad was King Haku for a while. So there is a bloodline reason for that as well. Although I think it's going to be Gunther and Randy Orton. And I think Gunther wins that. I think we get King Gunther. That makes the most sense to me.
Right, of course. And you can't forget he's coming off of this legendary Intercontinental Championship run. Becoming King of the Ring just fits Gunther. And the match between him and Randy Orton, you know, is going to be damn solid. So I can't wait to see that. That's what I had a feeling was going to go down as the finals of the match, Gunther and Randy. So I'm very happy that it's playing out that way.
I Make Beats says, who do you guys think would be the best choice for the tag titles moving forward? I would say New Catch Republic and Street Profits. Hope they give Andrade a program soon. Loved him in AEW. He's more than mid-card. Think he'd be a great heel in WWE. I just want to see him doing something consistent regardless of where he is, Denise. Even if he's in a team or something, like, give him something. As far as... I would like to see New Catch Republic and Street Profits. I think those are two really good picks.
Not the Street Profits because they've gone really downhill in the last like couple of months ever since they started that whole feud with Bobby Lashley. They've lost a lot of spunk. There just hasn't been that much interest in them. I would say the New Catch Republic, DIY, those would probably be my two top teams.
Guys, please leave a thumbs up on this video. Comment on this video. I'm going to be in the comments sharing my thoughts with you guys. I want to know what you liked most about WWE Raw. Don't forget, we're here every night. NXT Tuesday, Wednesday for AEW, and then earlier that day for the Hump. Beyond the Bell is preempted this week on Tuesday. But Thursday night, ROH and Impact. We're the only major wrestling website that does that show. We've got Friday, SmackDown. Saturday, there's Grapsity, WWE post-show, Collision post-show every week. Sunday, Double or Nothing. Then we just reset it. Denise is also doing a post-show on her channel on Saturday. Denise, tell the people where they can find you.
YouTube.com/Denise Salcedo. That's the place to be because I post a lot of content. It's been a slow month this month, but it'll come back up. So head on over there to YouTube.com/Denise Salcedo.
Also, a slow month for Fightful Select. Please go over to FightfulSelect.com. $5 a month gets you, gosh, probably 100 exclusive news stories sent directly to your phone, over 30 to 40 podcasts a month, plus access to our Discord server. You will not get more for $5 in pro wrestling. I want to thank our moderator, Luis. We've got a long week ahead of us. It feels good to be back full time. I'll be back in the saddle for all the shows starting Wednesday. Until next time, guys, we're out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.